Never think about others' faults. I'll just repeat that. The first word is never. It doesn't say except. It says never think. Never think about others' faults. So then a big question comes. What am I going to do with all that spare time? This commitment advises us not to dwell on the faults of others. So dwelling is called inappropriate attention. Inappropriate attention is attention that leads to no good results. Appropriate attention leads to good results. So dwelling on others' faults brings no good results. So we never do it. We stop doing it. So this is a wonderful decision to make. I aspire to never think about others' faults. Please, Guru Buddha, bless me to be able to do this. May I become just like you. As conscientious Dharma practitioners, that's our name, I am a conscientious Dharma practitioner, we should observe our own shortcomings instead of being preoccupied with those of other people. If we carefully consider our own faults of body, speech, and mind, we will gain an awareness of them and gradually be able to abandon them. So seeing your own faults is a wonderful activity, because without seeing our own faults, we can't develop the wish to abandon them. You have to see them first, and we'll get to this later. There's a particular guideline with respect to this. But seeing your faults is a wisdom. That's wisdom. Not seeing our own faults is ignorance. So Buddha said, a person who is aware of his own faults is indeed wise. So we become a wise person if we think, oh, I have a lot of impatience. I have a lot of critical attitude towards others. I have a lot of strong desirous attachment. I have a lot of jealousy. I have a lot of strong self-grasping. Instead of being discouraged, we need to be encouraged, because this is wisdom. Until we met Buddha's teachings, we didn't know how to recognize our delusions. And it sometimes feels, especially when we just meet Dharma, that actually we've become more and more faulty than we were before we met Dharma. But it's simply because we're learning how to see how much work we've got to do. So a person who is aware of his own faults is indeed wise. Atisha said, do not look for faults in others, but look for faults in yourself and purge them, get rid of them like bad blood. Atisha also said, do not contemplate your own good qualities, but contemplate the good qualities of others and respect everyone as a servant would. So this is priceless advice. If we want to turn our life in the direction of correct paths to pure and everlasting happiness, we must do this. We need to stop looking for faults in others. Just stop it. It's like a bad habit. Stop looking for faults in others and instead look for faults in ourselves and get rid of them. Don't contemplate our own good qualities. You know, this is the opposite of popular psychology. It's the opposite. I know quite a lot about popular psychology, because I had the great good fortune to live and teach Dharma in the United States for 13 years. And pop psychology is very popular there. And, you know, that's the sort of thing where you say, every day and in every way, I am getting better and better. Nonsense. If you're not looking for your faults, that's complete nonsense. Anyway, we won't get into that. Let's follow the advice of enlightened beings. So it doesn't say from time to time, contemplate your own good qualities, or from time to time, look for faults in others. It says, do not look for faults in others, but look for faults in yourself and purge them like bad blood. Do not contemplate your own good qualities. Why not? It just makes you prideful and look down on other people. If instead, everyone you meet, you think about their good qualities, because everybody has good qualities. They, like, for example, in the Training the Mind teachings, we learn to relate to the golden nugget at everybody's heart, which is their Buddha nature. Everybody has the potential to become pure-minded, compassionate, loving, kind, patient. So this is such a priceless instruction. If we're always looking for the good qualities in others, we become very respectful. And it's one of the minds that's so clear in Venerable Geshe Kelsang Gyatso's behavior. He is so deeply, deeply respectful of others. In fact, I would go so far as to say this entire tradition, the new Kadampa tradition of modern Kadam Dharma, the temple we're sitting in, the books that we're studying, the programs we have the opportunity to join, are all coming from his deep respect for modern society, because things needed to change. The Tibetan tradition, for example, wouldn't work in international modern society. It won't work. We need the same Dharma, but with a new presentation. This coming from our Guru's respect. And the first thing at every international festival, every teaching Geshe-la gave, the first thing he would say, first thing, thank you for coming. That's respectful, because without people coming, how could Geshe-la share his teachings? So we can see in the example of the author of this book, and perhaps you're thinking, well, I haven't seen Geshe-la's example. What we can feel his example through the writings themselves. His example radiates from the teachings themselves. We think, I'd like to learn how to not see faults in others, but turn that skill onto my own mind and get rid of the faults in my own heart. I'd like to learn how to not think about my own good qualities, but see good qualities in everyone I meet and respect them like a humble servant would. Because that's a bodhisattva's mind. A bodhisattva's mind wishes only to benefit other people, with that mind of public service.